Proverbs 25. Okay, Proverbs 25, the last verse in the chapter we did not get to last time. We've discussed it, preached about it at several junctures here in recent years and weeks and so on. But verse 28, important thing to get a hold of. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. He that hath no rule over his own spirit. A look in chapter 16, verse 32, real quick, and you'll see the kind of weight the Lord puts on this matter of ruling your own spirit. Verse 32, 16:32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Well, back in verse 28 of chapter 25, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. And the idea there is, of course, the idea of a fortified city, which in times past was a bigger deal, obviously, than now, where in order to keep marauders and friendly elements out, you have huge city walls, you control entry through gates and so on. But once the wall's broken down, and of course we studied how Nehemiah went back into Jerusalem to restructure the wall and repair the wall, and that idea is the fact that all you need is one breach in the wall, and some really bad stuff can happen from the one breach. And the idea, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down without walls. And the idea is, take several things for instance. Think about the folks you know who are in a bind and a fix now, and one of the manifest things that helped get them there was a bad temper or impetuousness or impatience or drink, or some drug issue, laziness. Something that the devil can always put his finger on to gain entry in that place on that wall. And I wonder how many guys in the end wind up in life ruined for no other reason than because they started out lazy, or they started out impatient and refused to pray about decisions they would make, impetuous, quick, fast, hasty decisions. Those decisions, of course, in time pile up. Some are okay, some are not okay, some of those that are not okay. Goes downhill, down spirals, gets worse and worse and worse and worse. By the time it's over, devil shows up on a regular basis and is able to enter that same point and destroy an awful lot within the city through that one breach. Well, a man that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down without walls. One thing to think about for you, yes, we're saved. All things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient, right? All things are lawful unto me, but all things, but I'll not be brought, rather, under the power of any. The idea being, if your impetuousness or your impatience leads you to make stupid, fast, hasty, imprudent decisions on a regular basis, those things in time are going to add up, and you need to learn to rule your own spirit. I mean, we want to be more like Christ, learn more of the Bible, memorize Bible, pray better, all that kind of thing. But, and yes, all those things are part of growth, but if you can't curb your temper, the devil's going to use that temper, and if when he takes an inch, he takes a mile, and that mile has an awful lot of stuff in it, right? He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. I know, I've known guys that had terrible struggles with their temper, their temperament sometimes. Sometimes it's character, again, impatience, an inability to see, you know, fault in their own selves, although they're quick to find fault in somebody else. Got news for you. The devil can use that. These are breaches in walls, but they're also chinks in the armor. Because if the devil can make you, can work on you to make some stupid decision on a regular basis, over and over again, he shows up, puts his finger on the button, it's a done deal, and things down spiral from there. Folks, that's why you see train wrecks in human nature the way you do sometimes, is because men, women never get a handle on certain things. Maybe you're just naturally fearful. Maybe you're just naturally, leave it at that for now. Maybe you're naturally fearful. Got news for you. Somewhere along the way, you have to, even if you have fear, you have to be able to learn to function under fear and not just cower in a corner somewhere when adversity comes. Otherwise, all the devil's ever got to do is make you scared. And he's already got you, right? He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. I've known, probably more ladies in this than men, but, anytime something came up, they would fall apart, go into tears and crying and hysteria, and they nowadays call it all sorts of things. I mean, they now have psychological evaluations to decide whether you have some sort of phobia or whatever. I got news for you. A pill is not going to help you. If you have issues with fear, if you have issues with tears, you're going to have to learn to control some of that on your own. With God's help, by God's grace, I know there are hormone things that go wacky at certain junctures in life. I understand that. I'm not saying that it's not true. I will say this. When the hormone thing goes wacky, you still need to learn to rule your own spirit. Just because the hormones are wacky doesn't mean that you're relieved of all responsibility. Right? Gentlemen, if you go through a midlife crisis, got news for you. The midlife crisis is not going to carry much weight at the judgment seat of Christ. Well, Lord, can you just see this? Lord, I had a midlife crisis. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. That city is vulnerable. And the more ground, we've talked so many times, the more ground you yield to the devil in your character, in your temperament, patience, prudence, discretion, those sort of things, fear, the more ground you yield, the more often, the more tools the devil has to come and say, be scared, be impatient, make a stupid decision, .. The more in his control that you are, right? He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. All right, chapter 26, verse 1. Now, a certain class of individual comes to the fore here over these next 12 verses or so. I believe I count the word fool or fools, I believe, 11 times in 12 verses, from verses 26:1 through 26:12. So the fool now comes to the fore, and this part of this passage is dealing with fools. All right, first of all, verse 1, as snow in summer and as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. It is not seemly that a fool should be honored. Does that make sense? Look in chapter 19, verse 10. Another thing that's not seemly for a fool, and just think about the emphasis in our society right now with certain things. Verse 10 of chapter 19, delight is not seemly for a fool. It is not seemly. The modern day word, the current trend is appropriate. It is not appropriate for a fool to have delight. It is not appropriate for the fool to be honored. Okay? Delight is not seemly for a fool, much less for a servant, to have rule over princes. Well, 26:1, as snow in summer and as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. Look in chapter 20, verse 3. I want to talk to you for a little while about honor and the honor of fools here and take a little survey. Chapter 20, verse 3, it is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. Now, the tenet back here in Proverbs 26:1 is as snow in summer. If you have snow in July, even in Minnesota, somebody's going to be upset. Because it's not seemly, right? As snow in summer, as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. Now, I think, and maybe it's not quite so much a trend right now, but they don't use that word. The trend now is not honor, but respect. Especially 8 or 10 years ago, everybody expected to be respected, right? Got news for you. Not everybody deserves respect. I know we're talking about honor here, but I believe that's what they mean when they say, I want you to respect me. Honor. Marriage is honorable in all, the bed undefiled, right? But the Sodomites, they don't just want you to respect their gayness. They want you to honor what they do as if they were a real family. And the answer is no. Honor is not seemly for a fool. Right? There is a certain race of individuals in times past in our country, and they couldn't apparently get a handle on 3 or 4 syllable words, so their desire for respect and the fact that people disrespected them, that was too long a word, so he dissed me. Didn't kiss me, he dissed me. Okay? That's short for disrespect. What he really meant was he expected to be honored for his race, for his lack of privilege, for whatever. And so often what those guys are, and gals for that matter, they are fools, they live like fools, they act like fools. And I got news for you. Honor is not seemly for a fool. I regret that a man of the timber of our current president could climb the ladder and get to the seat where he's sitting today, so that basically we're put in a position where as Americans, at some level, we're kind of forced to honor him for the office that he holds. Because honor is not seemly for a fool. Thank you. You're welcome. Let's take a little journey here real quick. And just with that in mind, go back to Proverbs chapter 3. Think about all the social the social streams and all that go on these days, the trends and fads and fashions, and somebody wins an Academy Award. That is, they pretended to be somebody or something they were not, and the Academy Awards people gave them an Oscar, which is a statue. And they are just the greatest thing in the world, really, for pretending to be something you're not on camera. Right? Look, honor's not seemly for a fool. Okay, I can run faster, jump higher, run over more people than the average person, and so I get a Heisman Trophy coming out of, not that I did, but I get a Heisman Trophy coming out of college for playing football. I have a pigskin filled with air that people try to tackle me for, and I have a capacity to be able to avoid them, run over them, or whatever, so I can make touchdowns. Now I get a Heisman Trophy. And because I'm a Heisman Trophy winner, I'll be drafted somewhere in the top five in this year's draft. And being drafted in the top five, I can probably score a contract for well over $5 or $6 million a year. But I have no education. I can't read. I can't put two and two together. I can spend money really fast on Escalades and stuff, but as far as doing anything or standing for anything legitimate, I'm just a waste of air, just a waste of oxygen. Honor is not seemly for a fool. Look in Proverbs 3, verse 16. I was just looking at this thing with honor a little bit. And first of all, this context here, of course, is wisdom. Verse 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom. Verse 16, length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand, riches and honor. Now, honor is not seemly for a fool. Honor is seemly for a wise man, not a wise man in this world. Not just because you know how to hotwire cars and stuff, but honor is seemly for somebody that's wise in the Lord, that has genuine wisdom. I got news for you. If you are part of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you have no excuse not to get some of that honor. Right? Honor is not seemly for a fool, but in true wisdom's, what does it say there? I need to get on the right page. Length of days in her right hand, in her left hand, riches and honor. Okay? Look in chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 8. Very much the same lines. Exalt her. This again is wisdom in verse 7. Exalt her. She shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. Now maybe you don't get your confetti parade. Maybe you don't get honored much down here. Maybe you don't get honored much for the wisdom that you have in the Lord until you get married, have kids, win somebody to Christ, able to help somebody out, or get to heaven at the judgment seat of Christ. Then you have honor, right? Look at a few more places. 13:18, Proverbs 13, says, honor is not seemly for a fool. It just does not fit. It's like putting ice cream on an onion. Honor is not seemly for a fool. It just doesn't fit. It just doesn't work. It's wrong to the eye. It's wrong to the heart. Honor is not seemly for a fool. 13:18. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction. But he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. Now we talked about reproof, I believe, on Sunday night. So, you know, this or maybe it was Sunday morning. Yeah, we weren't here Sunday night. So this works pretty good, but it says there, poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. A fool has a hard time being reproved. Some fools you can talk to until you're blue in the face, and they still just go back to the same well, making the same mistakes, staying in the same rut they always stayed in. That's the advantage that you have. It's not like you come here just to be bawled out over inane, dumb stuff. You come here to be bawled out or built up by the King of the universe that knows your heart inside and out. And he's appointed a man. Sometimes it's me. Sometimes it's Brother Grissom, Papa. Sometimes it's Brother Dave. Sometimes it's Brother Keck. But you know, Lord's appointed a man with a message to come and stand before you, and sometimes to reprove and instruct. And how you deal with that reproof and instruction will count very much as to whether or not you will be honored one day. Now, honor is not seemly for a fool. And you can sit in church and be a fool. you can sit in church and pay no attention and, or say, or even worse, say amen and wave your King James Bible and still do nothing legitimate to change the rut you're in, to change the character that you have, in which case, honor is not seemly for a fool. And I have a feeling at the judgment seat of Christ, I have a feeling most of us are going to feel like fools at some level or another, don't you? And I doubt very seriously the Lord will suffer fools gladly at the judgment seat of Christ. Therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Right? Why? Because you're going to stand before somebody that knows every idle word that you've spoken. He knows every imagination of your heart. He knows all your devices. He knows all your motives. He knows what you really wanted when you said and did that thing. Right? Well, honor is not seemly for a fool. Look in chapter... Lost my place again. Seems to be the story of my life, losing my place. 15:33. 15:33. Honor is not seemly for a fool. You put names and faces. I don't mean somebody you know personally necessarily, but you look at who Hollywood honors and who gets the Oscars and the Academy Awards and, you know, all the press and who's considered wise and the guy that gets tenure at the local college, you know, for his teaching or whatever. You look at who the world considers wise and see if we don't give honor to fools. Proverbs 15:33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. Before honor is humility. How many fools do you know that are proud and haughty and they think they have all the answers? I mean, how many... You know who makes me mad? The news media makes me so mad. I spend probably an average of about 45 minutes a day, all told probably, in the truck or car on the average day during the week. Most of that time, somebody will be on, like a Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity or whatever. And, of course, they're always telling us what the media really said. I don't read a newspaper anymore. It's very rare that I read a newspaper. There's nothing in it that matters. If I want to subject myself to the weathermen, I have a computer and I can find out what the weather geeks say any day or hour of the, you know, of the day. My point is, I don't spend much time with the media, but the way they twist things and wrest things and present things, you know, George Bush was the devil incarnate. But President Obama just hasn't been given a proper chance. It's just sickening. You as a white man, and don't think this is racist, but you as a white man in America could not get away with what that black dude got away with that Zimmerman shot. I mean, if I had a black guy down and was pounding his head into the pavement and he shot me and killed me, the media would applaud. But that's not what happened to Zimmerman, did it? The media makes me so mad. You know what? They're proud. They think they can say anything, and you're so stupid that you're going to buy it no matter what they say. You know? And all I know is that honor is not seemly for a fool. Everybody wants to get into, you know, the haughty-totty crowd, you know, the cultured crowd. They want to go to highbrow dinners where the mayor and journalists are and that kind of thing. I have no desire to go there. I think they're a bunch of fools. I think America is now a prison run by the inmates, and all the inmates are fools. I'm serious. That's the reason that I cannot bring myself personally to have much hope in the politicians that are running our country. even if they're Republicans and libertarians, because I think they're fools too. You see, I think Rush Limbaugh's a fool. I don't think he's as big a fool as Dan Rather, but I think Rush Limbaugh's a fool. I think Sean Hannity's a fool. My point is, ladies and gentlemen, it says there that before honor is humility. And a lot of times you see men, and they're just proud. They can't be corrected. And I want you to know that honor is not seemly for a fool. Not to beat you to death with this, but there's quite a bit more. Let me run you through a few more places. 20 verse 3. Proverbs 20 verse 3, a little survey here on honor. And I believe that honor is due to a Bible-believing Christian that gets wisdom, loves Jesus Christ, exercises discretion and prudence. And I believe that one day for doing right, whether you feel like you're going to get it or not, I believe that one day the Lord Jesus Christ will honor you at the judgment seat of Christ for having stood for what's right and done what's right, whether or not you've done something that seems magnificent in this world. You may have never won a single award here, but if you've been faithful to God, I believe you will be rewarded for that, right? Because honor is not seemly for a fool. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 3, I know we read this earlier. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife. Now, if it's something that has to be strived for, striving for the truth of the gospel, then strive for it. But the context here is, but every fool will be meddling. And the idea there is that you meddle in somebody else's business, in somebody else's life, in a place that you don't belong, and that is a fool's lot. And honor is not seemly for a fool. It is an honor to cease from strife. Right? Look in Proverbs 21:21. 21:21. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor. So for those great men and great women who have no particular regard for righteousness or perhaps even mercy, they're not concerned about what's morally right or spiritually right. What does the book say? They are not to be honored. Right? I don't believe that you should honor them either. Look in Proverbs 22, verse 4. 22, verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. So righteousness and mercy, humility and fear of the Lord, by those are riches, honor, and life. But honor is not seemly for a fool. Look in Proverbs 25, verse 2. Now, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. Weren't you made a king and a priest before God when you got saved? I'm told I was in Revelation, right? Okay, God has hidden some things. He's concealed certain truths. It is my honor to go find those things out. Like I told you on Sunday, I don't believe the will of God is supposed to be this grand, mystic, mysterious, esoteric maybe. You can get a hold of it somewhere. I don't believe it's supposed to be that way, but I do believe there are things in life. Tidbits of wisdom that I haven't perceived and gotten a hold of about myself, about my God, or about the Bible that I believe. Right? God concealed those things. It is an honor for a king to search out the matter. It is an honor, it is a privilege for you to have the opportunity to have a Bible to search it for the truth. But honor is not seemly for a fool. Look in Proverbs 27, verse 18. Close this down pretty quick here. 27:18. Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that waiteth on his master shall be honored. Next time you get impatient with the Lord, and you're on the brink of making one of those impetuous, hasty, imprudent decisions, stop and think about the fact that sometimes the Lord has just called you to wait on Him till you give, till He gives you an answer, right? And it says there that they that wait on their master will be honored. I like that. Look in chapter 29, verse 23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Look in Proverbs 31:25, talking about the virtuous woman, of which we are a type because we are the church. But beyond that, just a virtuous woman as well. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. Strength and honor are her clothing. Let me remind you of something we looked at in Sunday school this last Sunday. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 real quick. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we're talking about honor and how honor is not seemly for a fool. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and notice verse 4. Beginning in verse 3, rather. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel. Possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. We talked Sunday how folks seem to have lost a grip on that, where, you know, now it means nothing how you carry yourself, how, you know, what you rub, what your vessel rubs shoulders with. Look in 2 Timothy 2 real quick. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And go down to verse 20. I've always liked this passage. It's a great passage on that somehow or another most all of modern megachurch Christianity misses. Verse 20, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor, some to dishonor. Some vessels are spittoons. Some vessels are for carrying desserts on. Some vessels are for carrying spit in. Right? Some vessels are chamber pots. You don't want your dessert in there. Okay? That given, verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, talking about a Christian man purging himself from the vessels of dishonor. If you're a meat tray, don't hang out with the spittoon. Right? If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. That is, you pretty much can control whether you are a vessel of honor or dishonor. And it really boils down to who you hang out with. And honor is not seemly for a fool. Back to Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26. We read verse 1, as snow in summer, as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. Well, the entirety of this passage down to verse 12 through verse 12 is about the fool. Verse 2, as the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. Now, I used to be a little confused about that verse because you always hear about the curse of the zombie or the curse of the mummy. And some families believe that their family has been cursed because of something that happened back in their family past or whatever. I don't buy it. I tell you what's more likely, the curse that's more likely to come to you. It's the curse that comes from you playing the fool. That's the context of the passage. Verse 1, fool. Verse 3, fool. Verse 4, fool. 5, fool. 6, fool. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. In each of those verses, the word fool is. This whole context is that of a fool. Well, as the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse, causeless, shall not come. I mean, God judges men for their decisions, for their indiscretions, as well as their discretions. And the fact of the matter is, you know, more often than not, things that come your way, you're at some level the author of those things. You make decisions. You bear your testimony. You bear your vessel in sanctification and honor or dishonor. And more often than not, then, when God judges you, if you call that a curse, and I don't doubt that at times it is, you're really the author of that. And it's really the curse that comes not from some ancient curse of the mummy or some such thing where your great uncle Alfred stumbled on the mummy's treasure and the mummy put a curse on his family forever and ever and ever. It's not like that. It's more often than not, the curse comes as the curse of a fool to the fool. Look, for instance, at Malachi chapter 2, would you? Malachi chapter 2. Now, this is obviously written to Israel. In fact, it's written to the priests in Israel, verse 1, 2:1. "And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, if you will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings." Oh, good. That's just what I want. I want all the good things that God sent into my life. I want my wife, my children, my belongings that I came about honestly by God's blessing. Oh, good, yeah, I want those cursed. I want the car to fall apart. I want my wife to be sick. I want my kids to make bad decisions. Look, brother, I don't need that. Right? You don't want the curse to come. And it does not come causelessly. Right? Back to Proverbs 26, verse 2. "As the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come." I couldn't help but think about Job. Lord said to the devil after the first round, he said, You've led me to, I forget how he phrased it exactly, but you've led me to try Job without a cause. In the end, though, there was a cause. Because Job had a little bit of a self-righteous streak and said some foolish things, and the Lord purged him and dealt with him and judged him on those things at a much more intricate basis than I'm interested in going through, right? But the point is, the curse causeless shall not come. Verse 3, "A whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back." The whip is made for the horse, the bridle for the ass, and the rod for the fool's back. Now, I doubt very seriously that from what Deuteronomy 28, that our country will ever go back to public whippings. I'm not even sure that I'm for that. I have no trust in the justice system anymore. But fact of the matter is, if a fool was brought justly in the town plaza to get a few, I bet there would be a lot less foolishness going on. I bet if the thief, who was proven to be a thief, was brought to the town square and given 39, I bet there's a whole ton of people that would think more than twice about breaking into somebody's apartment and stealing the plasma TV. Right? Back to verse 3, "A whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, a rod for the fool's back." So it seems to me the chief question to be asked here would be, okay, I know that I have foolish tendencies, but am I a fool? Because if I am a fool, that is all but a promise that God's going to whoop me. That is all but a promise. I mean, if you're going to act the fool, think like a fool, and be a fool, I got news for you. life is not your apple. The Lord is going to bring some stuff down on you, and you're going to wind up with a whipping. Right? We've seen it, most of us, in our own lives. I believe that my whole tenure in college, not Bible college, but college, I believe that those 5 years, for me, were nothing but just a whole period of getting beaten by God. I'm serious. Those were the most miserable years of my life. I've told you that before. I would not want to go back and relive my college days for anything in the world. You couldn't pay me to go back and relive 1979 through 1984. I am not interested. Okay? I mean, there were some good things that came out of it after that, but that particular juncture, I ain't interested. God whipped me for 5 years. And it was just. The curse causeless did not come. Questions? Comments? Wasn't that edifying? Questions or comments? Yes, sir, Tom? Singapore, I believe, wasn't it? Absolutely, yeah. Well, I tell you what, you mentioned corporal punishment, and what does the Bible say? It says that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. I mean, we're talking here about honor is not seemly for a fool. You know what I believe about the fact that you need to spank children. It needs to be done lovingly and without wrath and anger and malice and all that kind of thing. But, I mean, foolishness is bound. This whole passage is about foolishness. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for a good night tonight in the Word of God. I hope it's been a help. Lord, we just are reminded that you expose not just things we want to have exposed. You expose things in us, Lord, that you wish to have exposed. So, Father, I pray you'd help us all to labor in our lives not to be fools. Pray you'd give us wisdom in how to go about that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing a song before we go. Let me remind you, you've got the Mexico group has a meeting right after service here with Brother Dave. And I need all the ages of those that are going to camp back there on the back table. And I lost something else. Here it is. And I need your ages. If you have not signed up for camp yet, I need you to do that. If you have a Stack Force piece of paper, I need that back as soon as possible. By that, if you're here, I need it tonight. Let's look at number 264.
think we're regular day Saturday as far as visitation stuff is concerned, right? Okay, visitation is on and all that. Again, hope you guys will come up to see to Anna's open house and get some food and stuff. 1 to 6. See you there, Lord willing. Then we'll see you Sunday. See ya. Bye.